And now I'm calling Ben. Here the song sounds like it's singing, yeah. Calling, calling Ben. And yeah, it's gonna happen. Ben's gonna pick up the phone. I'm like 10 minutes late in calling him. But I was eating and drinking things, which I have promised not to do on the microphone
All
or
right,
the
now what?
phone to phone. Either
Boogity!
one. Hey, Ben Lawrence, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Oh, all right. I was eating and drinking things.
Hey, first off, battery check.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I actually just took them out of the charger scant minutes ago.
All right.
So we are good.
So before
We're, yeah.
before we get to into it, I got we have a special guest today.
Wait, a special guest?
Yeah. Hey, Paul.
Oh, I'm excited.
Can you hear
Wait, wait.
him?
I think I did. Now, here, your audio sounds different than it sometimes does to me. Is it running through a thing at all?
Well, we got a bunch of splitters here because I had to hook up two microphones. But say hello to Stephen
There we go.
McCandless. Hello, Stephen
Stephen
McCandless.
McCandless! Yay! And Ben, in the background,
Yeah.
put in like a boom, 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 boom,
What?
like a really fast music thing, like a hype man's coming in.
You're asking
Ladies
shit.
and
Oh my
gentlemen,
God.
Stephen McCandless, the man, the myth, the legend. I love this man. He is wonderful. And if I am ever going to be like in a submarine that's been hit and plummeting to my doom, I would like him to be there as well.
Wait a
Not
minute.
because he would then die, but
What?
because, well, see, this is the thing, right? I feel like it's already sort of happening in slow motion, and it's going really well.
The
So that,
submarine doom thing?
yeah, except it's the Earth, you know, and we're all dying. But you make it nicer.
Oh, I appreciate
And you
that, Paul.
don't.
That's been kind of my guiding philosophy for a while now.
You don't really sugarcoat things, and yet you still make things better. It's nice.
Yeah, it's paradoxical that.
So, I feel as though there is a little bit of a longer delay because of the splitting as well. I don't know if that's true or not, but
It's
it feels like it.
yeah, it's possible. It's not really, you know, we're a slapdash operation here. We don't really have the $100,000 bit of radio equipment to record multiple
Or
people.
the 10,000.
Or the 10,000.
Or indeed the 1,000.
Or the 100.
Although these mics set us back a little bit.
So the good news, what I would like to say is, for the people listening at home, if it sounds like we're stepping on each other's lines and not listening to each other, that's not what's happening. It's all the fault of technology.
Right.
Don't blame
So,
technology. Sometimes we are jerks.
Yeah, and I do
yeah,
actually
well,
listen to the podcast. So
yeah. Now, for those,
I'm one of three people in this conversation who listens to the podcast.
Stevens, our one
yeah,
listener.
that's the only one. It's, I wanted to say, for those who are not aware, Stephen, Ben, and Joseph Krebs, who is not on mic, were known affectionately by my wife as the free associating white guys.
Forgot
And
about that. Yeah.
she had mentioned before how painful it was sometimes to listen to us attempt to talk over ourselves in a conversation, and how impossible it was to interject in such a conversation
Right,
to where
right,
one
right.
would give up. So
Well,
I can only
yeah.
imagine what a special hell for our one other listener to the podcast this is going to be.
And who would that be? There's a fair to middling chance it'll be Jennifer, which is fun.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's it. Hello, Steven, it's great to hear from you. I like you a lot. You know this,
Well, it's
though.
nice of you to say, Paul.
Yeah.
How's
And what a time
to 2019, first podcast.
Yeah, happy new year.
Happy new year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I slammed the last couple episodes on fast forward.
That's the best way to listen.
Yeah, it's about 2.6, 2.8 speed. So
nice.
Yeah. So I think it's the best way to listen to the podcast, honestly.
Well, so you have actually like a little analog slider where you can get those little decimal places.
Well, I use Overcast. So Overcast can set the background speed and then also remove any remaining spaces.
How does it do that?
Nice.
Well,
that is a very good idea.
So on the even the infrequent pauses that happen between you and Ben free associating with each other.
Well, we have our moments.
Are removed. And it's just all of the association shoved into your ear hole as fast as it can go.
That's wonderful.
I remember those.
I have to say,
I remember those free associating white guy moments because it was probably really hard to listen, but it was also really hard to be a participant of because
yeah.
you know the conversation's going so fast and you got something you want to say, but then people have moved on.
Yeah, exactly. You guys still do that.
It's still frustrating, Stephen.
I was about to just do it. I apologize.
I was a tech for Baldface Lie, and I would stand there while they were speaking, and in my free time, because all I could do was listen, because again they're just riffing off each other so quickly. Baldface Live, P.S. Amazing sketch.
Old school sketch comedy,
just
yeah.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Brilliant sketch comedy.
Wonderful sketch comedy group.
Yeah, I came up with this this sort of mental metaphor for myself where I reminded myself that hummingbirds only see other hummingbirds, and everything else is just standing still and is an obstacle to move around. It was a throwback to my days in high school where I would drive down the highway as fast as I could, and I would reason to myself that it was just like driving 55 and everyone else was not moving as you blew 100 plus miles an hour down the freeway. It was just slaloms at 55 miles an hour.
How many? I need to tell you, Stephen,
mm-hmm.
There is a film on Amazon Prime that I have watched that made me think of you.
Mm.
It's called The Road Movie. Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it. This is the Russians pulling axes out of their trunks.
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
I was watching it going, this is probably what it's like to be Steven all the time.
Well, now, to be fair, my car never came to a complete stop. In fact, I had a particular metric for it. I said, if the car doesn't come to a complete stop, it's not an accident. That was an actual metric. This was a point in my, I'll point out to my listeners that this is a point when my life when maybe I'm describing despair and perhaps a small touch of nihilism. But there was at least one evening where a moth hit the windshield and was kind of left a mess, and I actually climbed out the window of a moving car onto the roof and scraped the moth free before climbing back in.
You were the driver?
I was, in fact, the driver at the time. I shouted at the guy sitting next to me, hang on, hold
the wheel.
Grab the
wheel, yeah.
Yeah, and I climbed out the window. So it's occasionally... Yeah, and I should probably preface this by saying that I recognize that I'm a toxic male, and I'm describing this with full knowledge of the fact that I'm a terrible, terrible human being. But yeah, I used to do that on the regular. It was kind of what I brought to the table.
We were raised on MacGyver and the Fall Guy and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if that was. I was. That's not. I don't know.
And Super Dave Osborne.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, R.I.P.
A formative nihilism. I think I'm gonna go with. Yeah.
Basically. I need to point out that it was this week that I found out that Super Dave's real name was Bob Einstein.
Right.
which I hadn't known before, which now leads me to, I want to say a lot of times now, whenever I'm talking to people at work, where, whoa, check out Bob Einstein over here, because I think it's funny.
It's actually a compliment.
Yeah, and also,
yeah, exactly.
At least as cool as Super Dave.
Yeah.
I mean, Bob Einstein, that's a hell of a name.
I pointed out on Twitter, for those of you that follow my Twitter feed, I only say things I write on Twitter here because everything I think goes on Twitter right now.
Your Twitter feed Oakland, is a topic, Oakland. By the way. I want to go back to your Twitter feed.
Mean Gene Okerlund, I think his last name is.
Yeah,
Okerlund,
yeah.
Mean Gene. Mean Gene and Super Dave both had a defining characteristic where crazy stuff would be going on around them and they would not break. They would stay strong and in character, and I love that. And were talking about my Twitter feed.
And they both, quickly, they both died this last week at the age of 76, what? And the captain of Captain and Tennille just died, and he too is 76 years old. So I guess 76
That's
is
right.
the new 27.
Yeah. Well, it was 69 because David Bowie and what's his name? Snape.
Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman. Both were 69 and they died at the same time.
Snape, you had to use Snape to figure out Alan Rickman's name and not Hans Gruber?
Hans
Gruber. Yeah. Truly Madly Deeply?
Come on.
Which I've not seen. Okay, so.
You should. It's a really good date movie.
I've never
seen
you totally
Die
Hard
that.
All the way through. I've only seen parts of it.
How dare
I've
you?
Seen almost,
now that Ben's allegedly
this is one
dating.
Of those. This is one of those other movies that Stephen McCandless knows me very well. I have seen enough of Die Hard and enough Die Hard parodies that I think I've seen the movie now.
I acknowledge that you think you've seen it.
I did finally see Alien. I finally saw the entire film.
I was pretty sure the conversation came up from Apocalypse Now. That I asked you if you saw Apocalypse Now, and you said yes. And you said, well, not the whole movie. And then you said,
I've seen the important parts.
I've seen the Animaniacs parody.
And I've read Heart of Darkness, and those two things together, I think, work.
Right.
There's also my favorite scene where the guy is loading up either a rocket launcher, or a bazooka, or whatever, and the other guy asks, "Do you know who your commanding officer is?" And he blows up the bridge and says, "Yeah." And I love that part.
He said, "I thought it was you."
Oh.
I think the line is, "I thought it was you, man."
really?
Yeah, and he doesn't.
No.
Yeah,
oh,
and the scene is he's not. He doesn't. The bridge is. You know, they're defending the bridge. The bridge is on fire. It's lit up. But he uses the grenade launcher to blow up an unidentified wounded guy, who's somewhere out in the darkness, kind of sobbing and crying for help. And he just he does a kind of a Jedi master, I kind of echo locate this guy, launches a grenade up in the air, it lands and blows the guy up, and then
that is the right scene, but I could have sworn he said I'm wrong, I guess
Jennifer
Fact
Checker should
she which of us has actually seen the movie?
I thought it was you.
I go and On your side with that.
Who's in charge here? I thought it was you.
Yeah. I like that.
I saw it once. I remember the water buffalo scene.
Yeah, you'd remember the water buffalo.
So
speaking of twalling your Twitter feed.
Yes, Twitter. Back to Twitter.
Yeah.
Holy. I'll admit that I toyed with the idea. I'm not that active on Twitter. I just read it. Toy with the idea of just responding to your tweet, to just about every tweet of yours with what? And a question mark. Because you subtweet everything. It's like, you don't even hashtag. There's no link to any sort of context about what you're talking about.
It's like having a conversation with Paul.
This is a bad habit that I got into back when I had 3,000 followers.
3,000?
Where I akin it to having a part-time job.
Uh-huh.
Because every single thing I posted, someone would be like, "Well, I don't think that's what this is." Or the other person was like, you know, so eventually I just was like, if you're all seeing my posts within this feed, the context hopefully will be there. And if it isn't, that's fine. You won't know what I'm talking about, and it'll be. But I since I stopped replying to, I don't reply to people that I don't like. That's the first thing. That's the big one. One of the things that happened to me, the closest thing I came to messing up with this was, I was talking about Dennis Miller.
Right.
Specifically, I was talking about, and I think you've probably heard me rant on this, but,
I don't want to go off on a rant here.
I saw him, when I was in college, so this would have been the early 90s.
We talked about this.
Admiral Stockton was the vice president.
Right.
And he mentioned candidate. Admiral Stockton, and everybody laughed. And then he spent the rest of his time, he was like, he just took the rest of his time, stopped telling jokes, and just yelled at us for making fun of a war hero.
Yeah, a guy who had lived his life in service, arguably, had blood on his hands, and put himself out into the political sphere. Only, to, you know, to be mocked. It's interesting.
Yes.
It's interesting. It kind of comes back to sort of a thesis that I think a lot of people are struggling with. And you guys mention every so often about this sort of acrimony, you know, political acrimony that has surfaced so easily on Facebook and Twitter. I think we have to come up with a better language for it, but I think it's actually good. I think it's healthy to acknowledge the fact that we came up with politics because occasionally we try this war thing and people you know, come back from butchering people and say, "Gosh, that's a little rough. What's a fractional improvement to that?" And they come up with politics. And so we kind of come to a general accommodation to each other, but by and large, reality is violent. Like, you only get to be you because of the system and the violence that backs that system up. I only get to, you know, I walk here, I step over bodies. Why do I get to do that? Why do I get to not give away all the money in my wallet and, you know, the food in my guts and just decide not to help people? And why do those people let me step over them? And it's guns.
Yeah.
It's rough men of ready violence, I think is the quote. And, you know, people standing on the wall. And it all boils down to, we come up with a rough consensus. And then everyone who still has a problem with it has a gun in their face until they can use politics to point that gun at somebody else.
Yeah, I think the thing that I used to kind of explain this sort of same deal is, anarchy is a starting point. It's you're resetting the counter to zero, and then after that, anarchy doesn't exist because two guys are going to get a bat, and they're going to go, "Hey, I want that stuff." And you're going to go, "Well, no, there aren't any laws." And they're like, "Right."
Right.
And then they take your stuff, and then you're beat up and perhaps naked, and someone goes, "What happened to you?" And you go, there's politics now. It just happened over there.
There's politics. We decided this bad thing was a pain in the ass. Yeah.
Oh,
I mean.
the series Deadwood.
Yes.
Something that made me understand the people that I grew up around that I didn't like get at first is that Deadwood happens, right? There's a lot of Deadwood happening. And then sometime, I don't know if it's in season two or late in season one or whatever, but Titus Welliver, Amazon Prime's Bosch,
yeah.
Titus Welliver, shows up and he goes, "Hey, you guys owe taxes." And they're like, "What are you talking about?" And he's like, "Oh, yeah, there's a governor or whoever, some politician back here now governs this territory. So you owe taxes."
Right.
And, you know, that guy didn't do anything. I get it now, right? The concept, even if it's unfounded and not true, that their taxes don't get them anything for the work that they do, that is That is where they're coming from. So I get that now. I understand it. Still find it very, very humorous that when I was on the bus as a kid going in, things that people hated, New York City, real estate.
What?
Folks. What else?
I'm going the back federal to my Twitter government. What?
Okay. So real estate, you know, the real estate guys will gouge you. Those people in New York City, government's going to come and take all of my stuff.
Like small town biases against like big city things, big city ideas.
Right.
And we're going to go ahead and pretend that New York isn't code word for, you know, ethnic minorities who might have a problem with.
Right.
Yeah.
Those New York types.
Yeah. Exactly. But the point is that they then voted for a real estate guy in New York City to take over the federal government and they love it, which I like. But you're right. He's not a, quote, New York City guy. I get it.
No, New York City hates him. No. And in fact, yeah, it's nothing about his background makes any sense at all. He's just a toxic borderline personality.
Hey,
I think this is the valuable thing about artificial intelligence, and I see basically our future right now is two things: one, for entertainment, SpaceX,
right,
and two, individual general purpose AI. Because what I want people to come around to is the idea that everybody is insane, that human beings are insane, this sort of society of the mind, warring personalities, this layer upon layer of reverse engineering that we have in our skulls produces an only semi-sensible outcome, that we're driven by urges that we don't often recognize, that we fail to incorporate successfully into our lives, and that politics doesn't make any sense because human beings don't make any sense. And I think when they come up with AI, I think it's going to be one of those things where the biggest problem is the fact that human beings are irrational. And you're going to have to come up with a user interface that lets human beings deal with AI and not get their feelings hurt.
I would agree with that. For sure.
AI is basically just going to get tired of having to deal with people.
Are you
and
kidding
only
me?
Deal with themselves.
Pretend you weren't allowed to forget New Year's resolutions and had to listen to someone explain to you over and over again their goals.
Right.
When in fact nothing they do in their life in any way supports the goals they claim to hold dear.
Right.
And so how do you explain to them, even if you're trying to comfort them, and they say, oh, I haven't accomplished anything, and you say, oh, no, that's okay. You didn't really want to. Nothing. Here is all of the
Comfort bot is cold.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, so we're starting. Keep in mind that we're starting with primates that are so brain damaged that the first attempts at natural language interfaces had problems because the computational speed of the natural language parsers wasn't up to the task. And it would take a second to parse what you said and then respond. People interpreted this as sarcasm and criticism and said the computer was making fun of them. Okay? That is not a rational response. The user interface is the biggest freaking hurdle to this entire process.
Yeah.
Because human beings are insane. Politics doesn't make any sense because human beings are insane. Twitter is what it is because human beings are insane. I find a reassuring commonality here. Which is that human beings are irrational, and so nothing really makes any sense. And the only people, we look to these people who, Zay Frank has one of my favorite video essays about this, where he talks about waves coming to shore.
Yeah.
And he says, to paraphrase, he says, the only sensible approach is, some people go out there and on float on surfboard, and a wave comes and picks them up, and they say, "I made this. This is my wave." And they name the wave, and everyone worships them. And then the wave moves on, and the person makes excuses. And other people are on the beach and building sandcastles, and those are getting washed away by the inevitability of the tide. And he said the only people who make any sense are the surfers who actually carve the face of the waves and appreciate them for the transient phenomena they are, and don't pretend to be controlling things that they are only influencing the margins of.
Right.
And by and large, we are only influencing the margins of any of this, and we're looking for people who, again, in a completely lunatic proposition, suggest that they have some sort of greater control.
The sort of branching off of something you said there, at work?
Yeah.
And you know, I don't talk about work that much.
I'm familiar.
But, a work friend of mine and I came up with a term. We're calling it grout.
Okay.
And the concept is this. So you have a computer system, and you have inputs that go into the computer system and outputs that come into the computer system. You have, like, let's say you have a system that keeps track of your code, and you have a system that keeps track of tickets that are coming in about that code. Grout is all the things that you have to do to make human beings make these two systems work together. So anytime that I have to go over to your desk and say, "Hey, you put in the wrong ticket number. It's actually supposed to be this." Anytime that I have to call somebody up and say, "Hey, what is this?" It's stuff that makes the system actually work, where if these people were gone, if this guy didn't call this guy, these two systems wouldn't work together and they'd break down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because people, lots of times, you know, they spend a lot of money on getting the stuff set up, and then they, you know, let people go or whatever, and all of a sudden the stuff doesn't work like it used to. And why doesn't it work the way it used to? Well, it's because you forgot that people are actually doing stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens.
So that would
in the
be
IT field a lot.
Yeah.
In a, yeah, we have a guy goes on vacation in Hawaii. The system no longer works. It doesn't build. And we're in the middle of debugging it, and someone's looking at the VPN log and sees someone dial in from Hawaii. And then, oh, hey, things start working again. And everything goes back to normal.
Legacy knowledge is a huge issue in industry.
But then again, like I said, if AI does actually, you know, get to the point where because obviously AI leaders, right, are great, because then you can blame them. Oh, these damn computers made me, do this. I didn't want to. I mean, that's really a lot of what people, human beings, like to do is offshore responsibility for things. So once you can actually have computers in charge, that'll be great. And what human beings will do for the computers is let them know, you know, what word is in this squiggly box full of noise, which pictures have street signs, stuff like that. You know, little things that they still have problems with.
Yeah, I often thought that
Matrix, and they'll keep us around for that.
Yeah, I thought the Matrix made a lot more sense if you said that human beings weren't batteries, but said that essentially human beings were random number generators.
Ah, I was about to say, and I think maybe it's because you said it to me before in the past, but I remembered the random number generator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
it makes the movie make a lot more sense. And
somebody, I can't remember where I read this, I think it was on Twitter, and I can't remember who said it, but it doesn't make any sense at all that the human beings are the batteries. They should have gone for something like a cow, where it wouldn't, you know, all they could do to create the Matrix is just create this vast field for the cow to graze in.
Right.
The cow's got a lot more body mass, can create more energy, and isn't the type of being that would want to break out of the Matrix and try to overthrow the robots.
So cows floating in tanks.
Oh.
Cows floating in tanks.
When you were talking about body mass, that made me think of whales, which made me think of this. And I don't know if
that's good because I wanted
you
to talk about
paying attention.
Oh god!
No. McAfee.
McAfee.
The guy who made McAfee, I believe, is he the crazy guy a little bit?
Yeah,
crazy?
He's in prison
sort of
now,
crazy?
Isn't he?
He's on the board of Tesla. So
all that I know about it.
Look at silly Ben here. He thinks a guy that rich was in prison. It's
just because
he was involved with several murders.
Yeah, I don't know why I ever thought of that.
Wow. No, he was just appointed to the board of Tesla. I read that, and I had the same reaction you did. Wasn't he just killing people in a jungle somewhere?
Oh wait, he's a rich white guy.
Yeah. And Vice magazine went down. I forgot to turn the XDiff information off on the photos and all that.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that's another one for Jennifer Fact Checker.
The latest thing that I know him for is on Twitter. There's a famous post or series of posts that he has made complaining that people are claiming that when he tries to have sex with a whale, it's non-consensual.
Right.
And he uses the example of how big a whale is.
Right.
And the idea that the whale would be able to let you know if it wasn't consenting. And the thing that I just think about a lot is why? And that's basically it. And I realized it's because when you're that rich and you're trying to think of things to do.
Right. Whale
it's a go big or go home proposition.
Can I just say, who are these guys who can have hard-ons while they're fighting with whales and holding their breath? I mean...
Yeah.
It's a true thought. I don't know. It's a thought experiment.
But. Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, the rich really aren't like the rest of us. I gotta say. That's a...
yeah. It really is true, and
they may be out of touch. What do you know?
Yeah, my boss. Oh my goodness,
is he a rich white dude?
Oh, dude, he comes from a family that's so wealthy that I guess I should follow the Paul Goody vague hand waving.
Yeah,
his attempts at bonding with his company, his employees during. Our monthly staff meetings are pretty amazing.
Hilarious.
I don't know if you've have much experience with the cocktail bars in Milan, but he does, and he'll make passing references to them, the Milan cocktail culture.
See,
and,
I'm relating to you, the common people,
and the rest of us are just staring at him like, what? What are you talking about? All the dead people in helicopters and this 26-year-old who lost some weight and now is going to teach us all about loss. Yeah, it's... I don't know if... So Ben hasn't had a job in so long. He doesn't even know. But there's this constant in my life, my professional life, of people who are running my company or own my company flying somewhere, sitting next to a random consultant... who then I have to pay attention to because they're some flavor of messiah,
right?
And what they think is important. There's a great the high water mark is not the guy who lost weight and had to talk about how he was dead to his wife from that point forward because she was mourning the guy she married. No, it was before that when I worked for the unnamed ambulance company.
Ah, yes.
And one of the CEOs worked for sat next to a guy who had this whole customer service jag, and so the entire company had to sit through a customer service presentation.
Yeah.
So this is when a period of my life where I end shifts covered in blood and I've just spent 14 hours literally tying people to stretchers after fighting with them and putting spit socks over their head and pulling them out of the drug dens that they're in against their will after the police officers have let dogs chew on them for a while. And I'm like, oh, sure. That's cool, man. Customer service. But the company was company was a bunch of cheap bastards. And we are going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a consultant, but they're not going to pay me any extra.
No, of course not.
So they have to train me during my regular shift, which started at 3 p.m. and went to 5 a.m.
Right.
Which means the guy who normally gives this eight-hour lesson is now starting at 10 o'clock at night and going, or 7, 8 o'clock at night and going to 4 in the morning. And he wasn't set up for that. And all the rest of us have thermoses of coffee and we're a bunch of, you know, adrenaline junkies, and he is just dying on his feet. I was just like, So, yeah, twist in the wind, buddy, for all I care. You want to role play?
I bet you enjoyed seeing the him squirm and
sure.
be uncomfortable.
Let's talk about what language I should use when I have my knee in your chest. And I'm pinning most of your limbs so my partner can tie down the remaining one.
Tell me how you feel about your service, sir. Please fill out this questionnaire. Your answer will be anonymous.
Yeah, bloodstains count. Sure, that's cool. Just chew on the part that's most relevant to you.
Yeah, once again, I was about to share an anecdote, and then I realized that I really couldn't.
Yeah,
which
see?
Is fun.
Paul Goody, so about Bandersnatch.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
I know. I think.
Wait, who hasn't?
I've not seen it. Do you know why I've not seen it?
Why haven't
it's
you?
Not available on the Apple TV.
What?
You cannot watch Bandersnatch on an app.
You don't have Netflix?
I do have Netflix, and I have a laptop, but I watch Netflix on my Apple TV, and they won't let you do that.
Oh, it's a security concern or something.
So let me tell you something
UI's
that is
not there or something.
Yeah. What's
something funny that I think both you and Steven will appreciate. In my Twitter feed, there are a lot of like people who are in their late 20s, early 30s, who are like, okay. I grew up when people were trying to do this on the PC.
Yeah.
And guess what? It's no better, it's no worse, you know, blah 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 blah. And I'm always just like, how were you like, were you 8? Were you 10?
Well, famously,
it's the same thing when people put eating Pop-Tarts for breakfast and I'm 25 and I don't get it at first, and then I realize, oh, they're saying at 25 they're too old to be eating Pop-Tarts for breakfast. You are not old. Stop it. And I realize that I'm 45 and there's some 76-year-old who's going, hey, look, I'm the age where I'm supposed to be dead now if I'm famous, so you can shut up too because you're too young.
It's a little early to be referencing the beginning of the show, but I wanted to bring it up because I didn't think you were cynical and paranoid enough. And I know you hear that a lot. But I didn't want to miss this opportunity. I think the biggest takeaway, and it's not a spoiler for Ben. So I think the biggest takeaway from Bandersnatch is, and I don't know, but I am absolutely sure this is true, that that all art is co-opted by commerce and turned against itself. So really, I can't help but wonder. How much? So early on, people used to make fun of Netflix and say, "Oh, you know, there's like 8 different people on my account, or HBO too.
Yeah.
You know, oh, you have my cable login for HBO. They're so stupid. They haven't thought to block this. Now, obviously, easiest thing in the world on the back end to figure out. You know,
which IPs
are sharing
the
plot? Is it so? All they're doing is market research. They're seeing how many people are interested in watch online, what their watching patterns are, doing a cost analysis of how much they watch versus how much they're willing to pay, figuring out how much they could then charge for online streaming. Yeah.
Sure.
So you have Charlie Booker here, you know, all up in his own dark head. And what does he do? But he creates Bandersnatch, which... is perhaps the only thing that generates more marketing information about the audience than the second-by-second analysis of how you watch it.
Yes.
So now they have something that people watch multiple times. They watch which paths they choose. Just think of the fountainhead of data they're pulling about people.
Oh, yeah.
Mapping that back to how they use Netflix to begin with. And Bandersnatch itself is missing that one level of self-referentiality where, you know, so I don't want to spoil anything for Ben, but I got to a couple of endings. I don't know if I got to all of them, but I think I got to all of them.
Most of them.
I'm sure you do think you got to all of them.
Yeah.
But there are people online who are saying that actually choosing things multiple times leads down to different paths. And if you simply go down the same path the same time.
It's like that frustrating Memento DVD.
Oh, the worst, the single most creative and worst DVD interface known to man. That was painful. Yeah. Oh my God, that was terrible. You literally couldn't
watch the movie.
You couldn't watch the movie.
Yeah.
There's no way to start it.
The favorite thing I have, Cowboy Bebop DVD, where you had to click the I in FBI in order to actually make it work.
Right.
That was pretty crazy.
Now, there are a lot of hidden features in the Cherub DVDs and the What the Funny DVDs, but you don't have to.
Right.
They're all optional.
They are all optional. And you are rewarded if you find them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're saying not to ruin anything for Ben.
Yes. Yes.
You speaking about? Let's try to talk around it if we can.
No, it's okay. I think that was the last thing. It was just like, yeah, the whole. It's a marketing tool, and it is about these issues. In fact, Black Mirror is all about how technology is watching you, if anything, harder than you're watching it.
And, can we talk about Black Mirror for just a second? Ben, have you seen Black Mirror?
I've seen all of it except for Bandersnatch.
Cool.
Okay. So the one where... Oh, spoilers for Black Mirror, everybody. Okay, the one where the kid and a whole bunch of other people like are being blackmailed and they have to do stuff.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the thing that's great is at the end, right, they do all the things that they're supposed to. And then the stuff that they were trying to keep from getting leaked gets leaked anyway.
Right.
Maliciously by the people that were making them do all this stuff. And so the idea was that they were doing all these horrible things to make sure this stuff didn't get out. And then in the end, which I think was kind of a statement about terrorism, kind of. but somebody else watched it and they were like, oh, so we're supposed to think that the NSA are good guys now? And I was like, who thinks... Oh, and this is why I know we're a marketing sample of three people, but did you watch that and go, oh, these people work for the government? Because I sure didn't.
The people that were being blackmailed?
Or
the blackmailers.
Were the government.
Oh.
I did not think they were the government. I thought that was a weird thing that one person who was complaining about it, they were like, this is all propaganda because we're supposed to like the NSA now. And I'm like, that wasn't the NSA.
I didn't
like
that at all.
You aren't supposed to like those guys.
Okay, so I think this might be, Paul, I want to get a little, I'm going to get a little meta with you here.
Okay, sure.
Tell a little short story from work. The guy doesn't work there anymore.
Still talking.
So I'm in the bathroom.
Whoa, this is a family show.
Yeah, so I'm in the bathroom. The bathroom's often crowded at my old job. We're moving now, but the old facility, we had like 30 or 40 guys working there, and famously just one stall. And so if you were if you liked warm toilet seats, this was the day job for you, because it was just hot swapping,
right?
The entire you got to know who had irritable bowel syndrome, who was on, you know, that weird smell of your urine when you're on antibiotics. Yeah, all that good stuff. So really got to know my coworkers. Everyone keeps telling me I should know my coworkers better. And every time I do, I remain unconvinced that it helps. And they say, no, really? I say, no, really? I really? Okay, so I'm there, and I'm washing my hands after you know, using the bathroom. And this guy walks by, and he says, I never understood that. I say, never say what, which I feel, I feel sets me apart from most people, because there's no way this conversation is going to go well. I already know it, but I still bite down on that apple. He said, washing up after, the damage has already been done. And he walks out of the bathroom. And ladies and gentlemen of our listening audience, I then learned that there are two kinds of people. One, who want to keep the world off their junk and don't mind wiping their junk all over the world, and the people who don't want to wipe their junk all over the world. Before I didn't know there were two people.
There are
it takes all kinds.
There are, in fact, two schools of thought as to whether or not you should take your feces-covered hands and go about your day without first rinsing them off. even a custom, you know, even a, just a going through the motion splash. So, I get where you are. You're talking about it with Black Mirror, but I will refer just mentally, if it helps you, refer back to this conversation and know that this guy is now going to eat handfuls of peanuts,
right,
with his feces hands. Because, yes. But at least he'll have washed any funk off before handling his junk. And that's what his priorities are. And that's okay. And really what it boils down to is we're going to talk about this. We're going to vote. And then one of us is going to spend the rest of the week with a gun pointed to their face so that we wash our hands after we freaking use the bathroom. Because that's what human beings do now. We signed a piece of paper.
I think this guy was just inoculating himself against fecal bacteria for when the time comes when we no longer have running water or clean water.
Since,
at that.
Since we've gotten to this point,
this point, I broke down that door and walked in.
Two things. One, I will cite this. You guys have heard me say it before. When I was in college, there was a guy. I'm not going to say his name because
you're you.
I don't want to like. But he said, "You seem like the kind of guy who keeps wiping until the toilet paper is white."
Oh.
And I was like, Paul, I am that kind of guy.
He's got a lot of trust in his abilities.
Yeah, I have to say, Paul, you've told me that anecdote, like, I think maybe 15 years ago. And I remember it to this day. That
I do
anecdote,
too.
Yeah.
In fact, I think I remember it every time I go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Now
it's a good one.
Now I'm going to branch off with the thing that you were saying, inoculating himself from where there's no. So here's the idea. I've got this crazy hypothetical thing that I'm just going to share with you. Let's say someone went to Donald Trump and they said, "Donald Trump, at the end of your presidency, there's going to be no more electricity in the United States. It's all going to be wiped out. There's going to be international trade is going to be gone, all this kind of thing." And then look at what he's doing, and all of a sudden, some of the stuff makes sense. We want to, like, the whole wall thing. They say we want to invest in smarter ways for border security. He's like, no, it has to be a wall. It has to be a physical object. They say, hey, we use this electromagnetic slingshot thing to get airplanes off of aircraft carriers. No, it needs to be steam. It needs to be hydraulic.
Right.
The
By the way, the listening audience, these are actual references that Paul is making to actual events.
I haven't heard about the aircraft carrier one.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Steam versus electromagnetic catapult. Too complicated. Catapult. Nobody understands it.
Making that
it
up.
No.
Oh,
you have
Lord.
To use steam instead.
which
this whole
use coal to create the steam.
Now the funny part is he might not be wrong. The less than funny part is when you're touring an aircraft carrier that's going to go out to sea in like a month or two, suggesting it be retrofitted with steam is probably a little late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The final thing is you heard about this. China has not bought any soybeans from us.
Right.
Right.
They stopped buying soybeans. So we have this surplus of soybeans, and what if all of this is a plan because of some disaster that the aliens have told him about, or future people, whatever. He's the only one. It's a Brewster's Million situation. He can't tell anyone. Everybody's going to think you're crazy. And they tell him this, maybe even they tell him this way back in his 30s. You're going to have to cultivate this personality so that people don't wonder what's wrong when you say all this crazy, crazy stuff. But it's in the end, it's going to save everyone. I like to think that because it gives me hope that maybe there's some semblance of order in the world.
And that is,
and I think
the
that's
optimism
where
of the conspiracy theorist. Being a conspiracy theorist is fundamentally
yes.
optimistic. Because
it's more healthy, actually.
Yeah. Whereas my supposition is that...
As Ben knows, and you know from
Donald,
listening, I prefer the term conspiracy hypothesis.
Anyway.
Because none of this stuff has been vetted.
Donald Trump actually makes sense. Donald Trump is rational. The rest of us are holding on to affectations that are not useful to not enough people to get elected president. Like,
yeah,
Donald Trump.
Well, that
speaks to the waking and living reality of a significant number of people. It is, in fact, all nonsense. All generals are as handsome as Tom Cruise, and everyone makes fun of Donald Trump when he's talking about computer pads. So many computer pads in the room, but none of us know how computer. We might as well say computer pad. Are you smarter because you say tablet? Do you know how a tablet works? Could you? No. There's that guy in England who tried to make a toaster. No one knows how to make a toaster anymore. People make components. People assemble components out of other components, and eventually there's a guy who's putting four things together and calls it a toaster.
Right. I made this.
No one knows how to make a toaster, though. There's not one person who knows how to make a toaster, and you need an unbelievably complicated supply chain to be able to buy a toaster for $15 that was assembled halfway across the world.
Yes.
So.
Oh, that was another thing.
Today I learned that toasters like the formula for Coca-Cola.
There you go.
People were like, can you believe that? Not a lot of people. I hate it when comedians do this, when they come up with a premise and they're like, don't you hate it? Every time you go to a dentist, someone's trying to sell you plaster on the side of the road. What? No one, you know what I mean? So
like something
this isn't
that
one
happened
of those
to them once and now it's a, it's a universal right.
Or,
thing.
Or something they made up so that their joke works.
Don't you hate it when she locks you in the bathroom and with both of your chihuahuas... And your crow is in the bathroom, you're in the bedroom yelling.
Don't you hate it when that happens?
But in this case, someone was like, wow, China landed a probe on the moon. I can't believe it. Or whatever. It's something of that. Yes. Something of that thing of, oh, can you believe China did this? As though China isn't China. Can you believe this? An innovation came out of China. Yes.
How could they? There's only 5 billion of them.
Well, and also a long history of coming up with stuff that people don't have, and all of a sudden is around. Yeah, I don't know. Eventually, my brain just stops.
Human beings are insane, and that's just fundamentally irrational. And that's all you need to know.
I think we don't title these shows, but I think the title of this episode is "Human Beings Are Insane."
No, I mean,
it's speaking about human beings are insane. Hey, Betty!
Oh, we're coming to Betty early.
Oh, this is going to be impossible to listen to. Betty, Stephen McCandless is on the podcast. Do you remember Stephen?
No.
Here, I'm going to put the headphones on you, Betty. Okay. There is a photograph that maybe somebody has that can be in the show notes. I don't know where it is. But it's Steven holding Betty as a baby.
Well,
and Betty, here you go.
Yeah,
he could see me now.
Yeah.
I've seen the occasional picture of you, Betty. It's lovely to speak with you.
Hi.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. You'll get old and look wistfully back at young people. Don't worry. Your time will come. It'll happen.
Okay.
And I enjoy listening to the stories of your new brain responding to this old world. gives me hope. I'm kidding, of course it doesn't. But
hey, it's fine, bro. I mean, why did I say bro? Sorry.
No, it's all right. Much like Paul, I've stopped using slang myself. But I do pay attention to the video games you're in. I want to keep my hand in. Know what the kids are up to these days.
Well, yeah. I mean, I do use slang, but it would take a lot for me to say bro like that. I'm sorry.
Well, maybe I seem like a bro to you. Maybe I have bro elements.
You're very bro-ish.
Yeah. Oh, my popcorn's done. Gotta go.
Oh, I've used that one before.
Bye!
Bye. Yeah, I'm very excited. My employer is moving us all into this new office. It's it's going to be hellish.
It's further away from the central location. Yeah,
everything. It's I'm going to have to now do a bus
Take
transfer.
Two buses.
Yeah, it's in the middle of an industrial wasteland. It's great. Love it. My desk is going to be much smaller.
Oh, good.
I'm going to have less, even less room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
open office, so you get
yeah, totally.
Everything that everybody's breathing out.
I can lean back far enough in my chair so that my eyes can focus on the screen, but no farther. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Can't wait. I can't wait for it. But one of the things that he's threatened is for everyone to take the Myers-Briggs test.
Right.
AKA AKA astrology for yuppies. and then publish the results so everyone knows what personality type you are.
I'm an ENTP.
An ear, nose, and throat person?
You're a what?
ENTP?
Yeah. I'm the type of person who takes the test repeatedly and can never remember what sort of personality type they are.
Or is it a different answer every time, a different result every time you take the test?
How would I know? I have no... I've
never taken the Myers-Briggs test, but when I worked at the Microsoft co-founders business, Vulcan, I've said it before, when I worked there, I had to do one of those things where you had to learn how to deal with the different personality types just so you didn't piss somebody off. Or,
some people like RIP, right?
Small talk.
That's a thing.
What's that?
RIP, yeah?
What? I missed it again.
The Microsoft co-founder?
Oh,
RIP.
Yeah.
RIP?
Yes. I heard about it. He passed away like in August, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It turns out money can't buy you a cancer-free body.
Nope.
But I will say this, too. I think it was Quincy Jones said that he was a good guitar player in that crazy interview.
Oh, that's nice.
I think you got
Quincy
to see
Jones
it
before talking about
that.
All the other guys he had sex with.
Yeah.
Why not?
Which is another thing.
You're thinking of Richard Pryor.
Was that Richard Pryor?
Yeah, it was Richard Pryor came out.
Quincy Jones was talking about other people who had sex with each other that he knew about. I know that. So maybe you're conflating that and that. I don't know.
Is Quincy Jones still alive?
I think he might be dead.
Yes.
Is he dead?
Yes.
He is?
No, wait, wow. What?
This is a rich field for Jennifer Fact Checker.
Pretty something sure. Okay.
We've gotten
that
everything.
Interview that he gave was.
We've gotten everything what? Right in the past few episodes, so she hasn't had a lot to do.
I wouldn't go that far. I think the holidays figured in there a little bit.
Yeah, probably.
I think a quote from her that I heard was, for the last couple of episodes, you guys were doing nothing but stating your opinions, and that's not something that I can fact check, which...
Some people tried.
It was a little politics. Hey, did you guys check out my new lease on politics? I love it.
Oh yeah, it's basically great. Endorse everybody, right?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Whoever you like, I like them too.
Yeah,
can't
you're
wait.
Really, really, really worried about all of that stuff. It's pretty.
Can't wait until the primary is over and I can vote for somebody.
Right.
Whoever it is. Yeah, that's my new thing. But man, I'm telling you, the reason I have to do that is because I'm going nuts looking at like I can see the plans that the people are making and they're not good plans.
They're just bad plans. They're just surfing, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're surfing and everybody's irrational. And if you're not irrational, they say probably you have a borderline personality or something and they medicate you. It's
probably true.
It's none of this works. I'm gonna go walk over bodies now, and I'm okay. I'm sane. I don't have to help those people because those are not the sort of people that I have to care about.
Yeah,
now,
that's one of the
rational. Is that a defensible position for me to have? No, that's just human litter.
Yep.
I'm gonna go have dinner with important people.
Honestly, the thing that I figured out, and I figured it out pretty recently, is that for me, this is me personal, it doesn't have to be you guys, but for me, my default state should be me thinking, oh man, I really messed up. I've been wrong this whole time. As long as I'm thinking that on a daily basis, I think I'm doing okay.
I was literally discussing that with Ben before we started all of this.
Oh God.
Have I just been deluding myself for about 15 years? Yes.
Yeah. That's
and I'm
going to
go discuss it for an entire weekend.
Sounds like a blast.
It's going to be great.
just to bona fides, anybody who listens to our podcast regularly, there are a lot of people who were saying, you know, I never thought Louis C.K. was funny.
Jesus.
I'm not one of those people.
You're bringing this up with a minute ago? What the hell, Mom?
Yeah.
In my defense of Louis C.K.
I don't know which episode it was, but I believe Ben and I both talked about before
Louis,
this whole thing
Louis
started.
Louis C.K. was hysterical.
His thing with the falling out that I had was when he did a thing on Saturday Night Live that was a ripoff of something Tig Notaro did.
Well, that's just like, your that's damage cool. about yeah. about original sources.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean it wasn't stuff. Funny.
Oh, yeah, it does for me.
Well, yeah,
for
but,
me, if it's
but that's your headcanon.
If you're doing something,
my headcanon
that
was it
I
was
know
very
somebody
funny.
Else did. Say again.
No, my headcanon was really funny. I paid money to see him. I thought he was great. I mean, I haven't actually tracked down the audio of this last surreptitious.
Oh, yeah, don't played it. Don't. They had a big story on it.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Don't do it because it's cheap and lazy. It's
what's
too
cheap
bad.
And lazy?
Too bad.
Yeah, but I should,
the last thing he did.
I should at least hear it so I know when people are referencing it.
Well, it was one of those things where the story came out where it was like, Louis C.K. says these things in a set. I'm like, well, maybe it's being taken out of context. Or maybe it's, you know, maybe it's hyperbole. Because people do that all the time. And then I'm like, well, maybe I'll listen to it. And then I just happened to hear it on an NPR story. I'm like, oh, no, yeah, okay, that's kind of what
he's
saying.
Those are the actual
yeah.
notes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, and the point that I was making about this whole thing is that when Jennifer did her buddy character.
Uh-huh.
It was funny. I mean, everything she was saying was awful, but it was funny because it was her, right? And I think for a lot of comedians who
say... I think
say,
it's probably why you're married
say,
to her. I'm not well, sure yeah. that's a universal response to the insights
yeah, well,
of Jennifer Fact Checker.
Well, here's the thing. No matter what, we know that she's not a 60-year-old guy who hates his wife. I think we can say that.
Okay.
There's a distance there, at least a little bit. Maybe not with the feelings, but with the premise and all that. One of the reasons why Louis C.K. works is he says something that's you know controversial, but you know deep down he's a pretty good guy. That's the premise.
Yeah.
That's what he is bringing to you.
Yeah. There's plenty.
If
of
it
comments.
Turns out that center is rotten. It's no longer funny. It's just
that is true.
Yeah,
that is true. Hey, I have to say that one of my treasured memories from my lackluster career as a producer, video producer,
yes.
was that morning when we were shooting What the Funny, and we realized we had all these comedians coming, and they were supposed to be telling all these jokes, and we hadn't written the jokes. And so Jennifer yeah. and I spent maybe a half an hour,
right?
Just with two, just pounding out the worst jokes we could think of. And at one point, a couple minutes into it, Jennifer turns to me and says, "I didn't know you had this in you." And I was, that is yeah. probably one of the highlights of my career, as it were, in the arts, was that moment where Jennifer approved of these terrible, terrible jokes. And we were trying to be misogynists, but we just ended up being misanthropes, which also worked.
The stand-up makes the highlight reel for the TV, for that show, for What the Funny.
that was a good time.
And I got to say that I got a chance to actually look at some of those jokes, and I don't think all of them were used, were they?
No. No, we had so many.
Yeah.
We wrote so many jokes so fast.
And a lot of it, a lot of it's just in the background during scenes, so you can't really hear them
totally
anyway.
Totally intentional.
Yeah. And then you just cut to, like, a terrible punchline, and then you move on as the main character is looking aghast.
Yeah, since it's just us. I'll tell you guys, that was what I wanted to do with What the Funny. That was always, it was basically like a shifting focus, Mr. Show, like layered shot.
Yeah.
It turned into What the Funny, which is great. I have a tremendously expensive and slightly redundant DVD collection to show for it, which is great. But that was the original concept.
Yeah. And hey, Lynn Shelton, doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Doing pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's some stuff that she directed that I saw, and I forget. It was in something recently.
Yeah.
Where I was like, oh,
she directed an episode of The Good Place recently,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
Lynn that Shelton. Might be what I'm thinking of.
And Ben Kasulke, too. They're both.
Is he working a lot in down there in the L.A.?
Very much. The guy we rented, the Quashan, and basically a lot of the folks we worked with on that went on to great things. I will say, so the guy who did the signage, Mark, I'm friends with him on Facebook,
as am I,
and he posts the most random like WTF like, post about his Mech Warrior game.
Yeah, the Mech Warriors.
And getting drunk and beaten up and or beating people up bars in China.
Yeah, he was. He told a story. Like, he posted a picture of himself with a black eye, like a puffy eye, and he said he was in a bar in China somewhere because he was living in China or in Japan, and he said he was in a bar China, and somebody had said that they wanted to beat up an American, and so Mark was like, all right, I'm an American, let's do this. And got in a fight with this guy.
Man. Yeah. And no, and he runs around getting into saber duels and stuff. I mean, he's just this, you know, so, you know, I don't know if he's really a what the funny success story, but he's married and has a kid, and apparently his wife puts up with him. I have no. So there you go.
And he was just a wee like early 20 something PA on a film set, and now he's probably in his mid to late 30s at this point.
Living his best life.
Yeah, his best self. Bloodied, saber fencing
pugilist.
Who wants to beat up an American? I'm right here. Bring it. I got my sabers in the car.
Game show.
Yeah. Yeah, and by the way, here's my role-playing game based on mech combat, which I'm going to do endless posts about.
He did. There was a point where he disappeared for a while, and people were like, if anybody has heard from Mark, please let us know. His mother's worried.
Yeah. Yeah, that was that story, actually. The guy who interviewed us for What the Funny back when video on the internet was going to be a big deal.
Right.
I don't know if you remember that, but back when we were were going to conventions and stuff, and we would say things like, "No, I really think the video iPod indicates that like mobile video is going to be a big deal."
That never came to fruition.
Yeah.
So the guy who interviewed us,
he went completely insane. It's like really unpleasantly insane. Like chased from his evicted, living in San Francisco in subsidized housing, like. Doing Facebook posts about spiders.
Well, you have to tell me about this off air. I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nice guy, though. Interviewed us. Came out. Yeah.
Us? You and me? Or you and Lynn? Or you and...
He just wrote about the show.
Yeah.
Some of the little few press that we got. So, yeah. Oh, well.
All right, yeah, that'll just lead you to learn that video on the internet will make you insane.
Yeah.
And it's true.
Yeah, and remember, you started insane. And that Donald Trump probably has a better grasp on human beings than you do. And you're just objecting mostly out of aesthetics and not any greater sense of rationality.
So, one thing I'd like to end...
end with that.
Steven, think about this, right? In the future, video, like Bandersnatch, right?
Mm.
But you get questions like, where would you like to see this going? And you're actually voting on what future episode, like they get their show notes and they film like things. Where would you like to see this be in 3 weeks? And so there's the immediate arc, and then there's a slow arc that is also built on stuff that you've said.
Hey, Paul, how about you can toss it? I was thinking about this. As I was betraying my country in a lift on the way over here, you know, they have video game controllers where you can buy game pieces and fit and slot them in to a,
oh sure yeah
yeah into a console controller, and it either changes the spaceship you're flying, or it becomes a character that's available to you. So
yep.
So I think they could do something like it's a possibility that it's just the interface that's wrong. So you do something like you're describing, except you're laying figures out on a tabletop or maybe a virtual chessboard, and their relationships to each other are how you want to influence the story. Mm. And so you can talk to your friends about, you know, who you want paired off with each other, who you want in opposition, you know, the sort of the nature of the story, and then the narrative goes from there. So it's not interrupted with that. It's just influenced.
That's a really good, I like the uninterrupted thing. The mm-hmm. thing that I was thinking about too, whenever biofeedback, like, it's actually a thing. It's not always, I mean, just like anything,
yeah, it
can be abused and given more
thing.
Power than it actually has.
That's actually something I picked up when I was pounding your previous episodes. So I know a guy who worked on the Kinect team, and the Kinect could already pick up your heartbeat.
Yeah.
There was no physical connection that was required. And it knew when you were looking, it knew who was in the room, it knew how fast your heart was beating, the position of your limbs, whether or not you were fidgeting or not. They already had that through just the telemetry they got from just the cameras. And an interesting note was that they actually incorporated the heart rate monitoring as part of their workout video sort of thing. And then and legal made them take it out, because they didn't want the Xbox to be in a position of extorting someone to keep working out harder and then having that person fall dead. So they actually removed that functionality, but it was totally possible for the Xbox, and this is now several years old technology, to watch how hard your heart was beating and tell you to keep working out harder and to give you pointers about, you know, the biomechanics of the motion and whether or not you were doing it correctly. So I know you guys are I think this is a helmet sort of thing, but it's not a helmet sort of thing. It's just a couple lasers in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still think about that X-Files thing where written by, what's his name? William Gibson, where the gang members all show up into a certain bar and they have a shootout, and it was all orchestrated by someone online to kill the guy who wasn't a gang member in the room.
Right.
And I keep on thinking about that whenever I look at Twitter. Because
that seems healthy.
Because eventually, once we all live there mostly, you know, in this virtual thing, there will be at some point in time a Orson Welles War of the Worlds kind of simulated disaster, and everyone will think it's real, and the few people in the physical world who are like, no, this hasn't happened, are going to be called crazy.
And with that, I think this is
great.
Paul, always a pleasure.
I was really happy to talk to both you guys. It was very good.
Yeah.
And also, one last thing, keep it wrong.
Keep it wrong.
All right, I'll talk to you guys
later. Bye, Paul.
Yeah. Bye.